This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello and welcome into the Fog.net podcast. My name is Michael Swain, the Kansas beat writer for 24/7 Sports. Really fired up at the episode we have coming your way. We're talking to Jared Johnson, who covers Texas Tech for 24/7 Sports. We're going to dive into the upcoming matchup between KU and Texas Tech. Jared does a great job of covering the Red Raiders, so make sure you're checking out his work throughout the course of the week and see what they got going on over there. But Jared, this is Joey McGuire's second year. What's it like covering him? From the outside, he seems like a high-energy guy that would be a pretty fun coach to cover. But being there and being on the beat, what's it like to cover him?
Yeah, first off, Michael, thanks for having me on. And right back at you, you do a great job covering KU for us, you know, at 247, 24/7.
Thanks.
I really appreciate being on. Yeah, Joey McGuire is great. You know, he is. He's very generous with his time, not just with the media, but with everyone. That's kind of it is a big part of his personality, is that he believes in that. He's one of those guys who has a talent for remembering like one small experience with someone from like 20 years ago, you know, that would seem insignificant. And somebody thinks, oh, you know, you probably don't remember me. He's like, I remember where you were, when it was, what we were doing, that kind of thing, you know, and he makes people feel very important when he's talking to him, which obviously helps in recruiting and all types of aspects with the program. But I think the biggest thing this year is the not meeting the expectations. You know, I think he's handled that about as good as one could expect. You know, I mean, there was a lot of expectations in terms of Tech being where Kansas is, really, to be honest. And Tech hasn't measured up to those expectations. So there's, you know, the fan base is disappointed, but from my perspective, I think McGuire has done a good job in terms of dealing with the fallout from that.
Definitely. Well, there's going to be a yearly award now of the team that I think in the offseason gets a lot of the praise and maybe falls a little bit short, right? Texas Tech, I feel like, was one of those this past offseason. But, man, you go back to Baylor the year before, Iowa State the year before that, like the team that everyone kind of goes in the season and says, hey, they're the dark horse, watch out. It's hard to meet those expectations. Obviously, the injury to Tyler Shough does not help. But what do you think has contributed to Texas Tech having a rough year where last year, right, they were a really good team and won a lot of games? And this year, it seems like it's just been a more of a slog for them. So what do you think are just kind of the contributing factors to that?
Well, one, and I'll get the obvious out of the way, is the turnover differential. They've been really terrible for most of the year in terms of turnover differential. And I think anybody who knows anything or follows the sport knows how important that is. Two-game losing stretch to Kansas State and at BYU, which is a team Tech was clearly better than, but had their true freshman quarterback playing and turned the ball over five times in that game, and three times against Kansas State. Yeah, they were a combined negative eight in the turnover department in those two games. That played a big role, obviously, in them losing. But it's not just that. They haven't had the pass rush that was expected. And also in terms of the passing game, whether it's been Shough, Morton's been the best out of the three, or true freshman Jake Strong, the usual passing efficiency that, you know, that all Texas Tech fans have come to expect for really this whole century just hasn't been there. It doesn't matter where they played, for the most part, who the quarterback's been and who they played even. It's just hasn't been there. I think part of that's the receiving core for the most part, especially the outside receivers haven't really measured up. And then, again, no pass rush on the defensive side or very little pass rush means very little turnovers. So, I mean, that's a really bad mix. You throw all that together.
Yeah. Well, let's talk quarterbacks because you know, Shook is someone that cooked KU last year in this game, right? Isn't, yeah, at least to me, someone that I think of as a big runner. And there he was scrambling for first downs. He made a lot of plays. Obviously, he's hurt now. And I thought Lance Leipold, he made an interesting point when he brought up Morton, the current starting quarterback. I didn't realize he was such a highly regarded recruit, where Leipold made a good point, right? There are a lot of good quarterbacks that have gone to Tech. And at least in the internet recruiting like era, right, he's the highest ranked of them all. He's like the seventh highest ranked recruit ever to go to Texas Tech. Like, I did not know that. So walk us through kind of what this quarterback room has looked like this year. I know injuries have been a big part. So what have you kind of seen from just the room and what you've seen from Morton, who will start this Saturday?
Yeah, Shook was the starter coming out of the offseason, and they knew, you know, he was going to be the guy. He led them, including the KU win, four straight victories to end the season, was MVP of the Texas Bowl and Texas big win over Ole Miss, but didn't really look right, even, you know, before he was injured to start this season. He just seemed a little nervous or tentative where he had been so aggressive at the end of last year. It was pretty weird. It was like he had been tentative early in his career. Then he kind of said he threw caution to the wind and just went out there and played, and, you know, he balled. Let's be honest. He played really well, which was a big part of the optimism, having him come back and a lot of the starters on offense and, you know, up front on defense. But he just didn't look the same. Then he got hurt, and then Baron Morton got hurt in that same game against West Virginia. He had a third-degree AC sprain in his throwing shoulder, and so he didn't look the same. And then he got hurt his back in addition to his shoulder against Kansas State, so they pulled him at halftime, and then the true freshman Jake Strong, who I like, but I mean, getting your first collegiate snap in the middle of a game against the defending Big 12 champs is not a great recipe for success. Mm-hmm. He also, against BYU, didn't play very, very good either. So, you know, we'll have to check back and see about Jake Strong. But Baron Morton, yeah, was a four-star recruit, Elite 11 finalist, has a very quick release, one of the quickest releases of any quarterback I've ever seen, especially when he's healthy. Is more of the gunslinger mentality kind of guy. He will take chances, but he's been more like efficient this year. I don't know if it's because of the injury, so he's kind of holding back a little bit, but he's actually been better because of that. I feel like, you know, he's been more choosy in terms of when he decides to go for it. He can run, but he's not like a huge threat running. He's more of a guy to extend the play just outside the pocket to look for a big play with his arm downfield.
Interesting. And I want to get to the running game in a minute because I love Tech's running back. But you mentioned the wide receivers in your answer a minute ago. And we include tight ends here too. Like, what are the targets that Morton is throwing to? Like, what are we looking at here in terms of just broader in the Big 12? Do you think it's a middle Big 12, top Big 12, bottom to Big 12? Like, the receiving core and tight ends, like, what exactly is kind of Tech working with here? Because we know they like to go up tempo, but, you know, the targets, what are we looking at?
Potential-wise, it's good, but in terms of production this year, and I don't know if it's just the receivers, because there's been like a guy have a good game here, a guy have a good game there, but nobody consistently doing enough, if that makes sense. And it's a lot of the guys who made enough plays last year. So it's guys that had really good, especially at the end of the season, like Jaron Bradley. I think he had a good game against Kansas. I know he did against Oklahoma and Ole Miss towards the end of the year, but he's had a disappointing season. Miles Price is a veteran player and a pretty good punt returner, by the way, as well. And he's the starting inside receiver. Xavier White, another senior who's played a lot at running back and inside receiver. He had a pretty nice game last week. Coy Aiken is a new name, another outside receiver. I believe he had 8 catches last week for around 70 yards. This is really his first year playing at this level. And last year he was hurt and redshirted, but they really like him. Those are the main guys. In terms of tight ends, Mason Tharp's been hurt with a concussion, been out for a long time, and that's kind of a concern. And so Baylor Cupp, a former 5-star recruit who went to Texas A&M, he had his own like series of injuries, like major injuries, but recovered, transferred to Tech, and he's been pretty good. He just doesn't get a lot of targets. They use him as a blocker more than as a receiver. So, but, I mean, he has a couple of touchdowns this year. He's a good player. And, you know, he's definitely somebody to watch in terms of, he's capable, especially in the red zone, making some plays.
Oh, man, I love Tech's running back. Taj Brooks, like, when I watched all the the TCU game last Thursday night, and just watching that guy run looks like a lot of fun, you know, and it feels like he makes a lot of guys miss, forces a lot of guys to make really difficult tackles, and he's hard to bring down. What have you thought of Tech's run game? Because I think if you look at, I've got the numbers here for a YouTube audience, like in terms of EPA running the ball, number 7 in the country. Like they're very, very good at running the ball. So has this unit been better than what you expected? And just what have you thought about the way Taj Brooks has played this year?
Well, we expected Taj Brooks to have a great season. I mean, a lot of our previews, we said that. And one of our main writers, Joe Yeager, that was like his main point of the preview is like, watch out, Taj Brooks is going to have one of the best seasons, maybe even in Tech football history. And he's on his way to doing that. He needs to finish strong. But I think the biggest concern was, would offensive coordinator Zach Kittley feature him enough, or would he want to air it out? You know, I mean, he's a disciple of Cliff Kingsbury, and then off the whole air raid. It's not an air raid per se, but it's off that tree. Excuse me. So that was the concern. And at times this year, it's been like, you know, you have Taj back there. The passing game has been inefficient. Feed him the ball. And that's what they've done here recently. I think he's had over 31 carries each of the last two games. And he made like a ridiculous amount of TCU defenders miss last week. I think he had the NCAA leading like 14 or 15 forced missed tackles, or broken tackles last week. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the offensive line prefers to run block, which most offensive linemen do. But this group especially really excels at run blocking compared to pass blocking. But in the end, it's Taj Brooks being Taj Brooks. I mean, you look at whoever the second leading like running back rusher is, that's Cameron Valdez, and that's really only off like one or two games. It's the Taj Brooks show, and he is a special running back.
Let's flip the other side, because I think at least when I think about Texas Tech, I think about being a better maybe pass defense than run defense. But you look at their numbers, right? I think it's about 4th in the Big 12, 3rd in the Big 12 in run defense this year. They've been really good. So the front 7, you know, what exactly have they returned from last year? Obviously, they had a first-round NFL draft pick leave, but what did they return from last year? And do you feel like that unit took a step forward from last season?
Well, they've had some injuries. Jacob Rodriguez was supposed to be like the guy, the leader and the guy, team captain, all that stuff in the middle of their defense at inside linebacker. And he got hurt. Actually, he forced a fumble and recovered it in the season opener in the first quarter against Wyoming. And an offensive lineman like awkwardly fell on his foot, hurt his foot. He missed like the next 7 games. And that forced Ben Roberts, a redshirt freshman, to step in and play a lot. He's been really good, actually. 6'3", 230, could really run. He's one of those guys. He was the lowest rated guy, or one of the lowest rated guys on the commitment list, but is just a good football player and has really developed quickly. Like I said, leads the team in tackles, does a little bit of everything, you know, gets some tackles in the backfield, has a couple sacks, has an interception, has a forced fumble. But I think everything really starts with Texas Tech's defense with Jalen Hutchings. He was a preseason All Big 12 performer. He's up there. He may be leading the team in sacks from his nose guard position. He's 6 foot, 305 pounds. So he doesn't have a big frame or anything like that. He started, I believe this will be his 56th, either his 56th or 57th start at Texas Tech. He'll be playing Kansas for the 6th time. So Kansas fans might remember him. I mean, with the COVID and all the extra eligibility for this era, this weird era of football. He's one of those guys who's been around forever. And the interesting thing about him is he is like super athletic. I mean, he could squat like 600 and something pounds, but he also ran for over 800 yards as a junior in high school at a really high classification in Texas football, because their starting running back went down. Here's this 6 foot, 275 pound bowling ball. And they just put him in the backfield and he tore it up, you know. While he doesn't have the big frame, really nimble, very athletic for a guy that size, and obviously has a ton of experience. I mean, he is the definition of a grown man playing college football at this point.
Yeah, and then the secondary, I think this is now where you look on the other side, right? And Tech ranks really highly, you know, like in the run defense. So passing secondary, what have you thought about the way they've played?
You know, I think that sometimes stats are misleading, you know. Don't get me wrong. The secondary isn't, like, amazing or anything like that. but it's not terrible. They have veteran guys. Malik Dunlap, 6'3 corner, started multiple years. Rashad Williams, same thing, 6'3 corner, started multiple years. Dadrian Taylor-Demerson's a very good safety. He's one of their – I think he's either leads or he's up there in terms of solo tackles. He had two interceptions last week, including the game-clinching interception against TCU. Mm. He was like a all-state running back in Oklahoma, won multiple state titles and rushing titles, who got converted to safety. So he's an interesting dude. some of the other safeties are kind of – they've been moving parts around. Everybody has that hybrid outside linebacker or safety position. And they switched a couple of guys. They had C.J. Baskerville, who transferred in from San Diego State, starting there for most of the year. But now they have him a boundary safety, which is really more his natural position. They switched him with Tyler Owens, who is one of the most athletic guys, 6'2", 215, can really run. He had like a 10.5 100 or something in state track meet. Yeah, I mean, he's a really good guy. He's a former four-star guy who went – high four-star guy. He went to Texas originally and then transferred to Tech. And he's good. He's a little over-aggressive sometimes, which, hey, it's like boom or bust. He'll make a big play, and then he'll take a bad angle, and it'll lead to a big play. So it's not a great secondary, but it's better than the stats. They're aggressive. Tim DeRuiter, the defensive coordinator, and a lot of times he'll put his corners in just one-on-one situations. You know, don't get me wrong, they make plays, but also against these Big 12 receiving corps, and they get beat sometimes too.
What special teams? I think for KU at least, I think you've seen a lot of improvement this year in special teams. Yeah. Field goal kicking has struggled, you know, the last couple of weeks, but I think generally it returns coverage. KU's been pretty good. Is Tech good, bad? What do you think?
Very good. And I think that's one of my keys to this game. And I know it's not sexy to talk about special teams, but Kansas does have a very good special team. I mean, they have a very – like, they're good. That's – Joey McGuire, we're talking about it in the press conference. Like, we could have talked about special teams, right? You know, I mean, but we could have talked about that for a long time because, I mean, you can see big momentum swings. I mean, Tech may have lost to Houston if they didn't have a big performance from their special teams. They had a punt return for a touchdown and a block punt for a touchdown. And I think they won by 21. So that was, I mean, that was a big part of the game. And it was, at that moment, it was really close. It was back and forth. I mentioned Miles Price. He's a good punt returner. He's been good. He's one of the best punt returners Tech's had in quite some time. Really, it goes back maybe in a decade. He's a veteran guy, so he's been doing it for a while. I know Kansas has good punt return teams, and that's going to be an interesting matchup to see who does what. Dre McCray, I think he has a kick return either for a touchdown or one that set up a touchdown, a really long one, and is a speedy guy. So the kicker, Gino Garcia, he struggled in the opener, but since then has been great. Last week had a 55-yarder, I believe.
Yeah.
So he's a big leg. The punter, Austin McNamara, in terms of statistically, he's up there with like some of the best in Big 12 history. So, Tech special teams is really good. And Kenny Perry, who spent a long time at Kansas back in the day in the coaching staff, is the special teams coordinator. And he's also the running backs coach, two position groups that are really doing well. So he's done a really good job for the Red Raiders this year.
Love it. So you mentioned one of your keys was going to be special teams. What else are you watching for on Saturday? What are the other keys you got?
Well, clearly both teams can run the ball. And I, you know, Devin Neal, I'm as big a fan of his as you are with Taj Brooks. I mean, he's great. And then Bain is such a threat with his arm too, but with his legs. Tech has been susceptible to that. Kansas State, Avery Johnson ran. I mean, he could have ran for 8 touchdowns if he wanted to. He had 5, but he could have had 8 if he wanted to. I mean, I think he sat down at the end and just ran the clock instead of scoring. So quarterbacks have been a problem in terms of with their legs, really. As much as with their arm. So that's something to watch. Which team does a better job of containing the other team's running game? I mean, what Kansas runs for 200 yards a game or something like that, almost. Tech runs for 175, which is spearheaded by Taj. Who's going to control the line of scrimmage, you know? I think that's going to be a big part of it because Kansas, it seems, you know better than me, of course, does so much off the running game, you know, all the option, all the motion, all the getting defenses off. Like, this looks like it's going to be a run to this side based off this motion, this formation, and then they play action or have some kind of RPO action or something that net springs a big play. That's what it looks like to me, not covering them like you do all the time. Mm-hmm. So to me, it seems like Tech needs to stop the run first before it gets to that point, you know, and vice versa. Because Baron Morton has, while he hadn't put up monster numbers, he's been efficient playing off Taj's success, if that makes sense. You know, I mean, teams are really starting to, they figured it out. Taj Brooks is special. That's what Tech does best. So they've been trying to load up, you know, in the box and stop him. Baron's done a good job off of that. So I think in staying with Baron, he's got to protect the football. And I know you can always say turnovers, but what, Kansas has, what, 4 defensive touchdowns this year or something like that, I read, I think, in the game notes, like, mm-hmm. among the leaders or maybe tied for the lead in terms of defensive touchdowns this year. So, I mean, with the defense helping the off, that explosive offense out like that, it's no wonder Kansas is having so much success this year. Tech can't afford in Lawrence to be throwing pick sixes or having Jayhawks scooping scores. That's for sure.
Yeah, totally. Love it. I think you hit on, I think I'm in line with everything you said. Like, it's a line of scrimmage game. Who wins? Yeah. And then Jason Bean can be erratic at times. He was really, really good against Iowa State, but he can be erratic. So that's, I'm spot on with you. That's what I got for you, Jarrett. For folks that want to check out more of your stuff, you know, where can they find you?
Yeah, at Johnson Jarrett on Twitter and at TTU247, as well as the Inside the Red Raiders handle.
Awesome. Well, hey, Jarrett, thanks a bunch, and hopefully we get a good game on Saturday.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.